And kind of, it's a big thing that happens in this program too is that, you know, we train sometimes without having access to the objects, and we do everything we can in terms of like giving you articles, having discussions, using objects that might be related to an exhibition to practice with, or, you know, you get checklists and we go through a whole, you know, we'll have PowerPoints, we'll look at documentaries, we'll do different kinds of things, but you never know what's going to happen until you do that first day. Can you guys tell me a little bit about what your first day was like, and if, how awkward it was, or if something clicked and you realized you could do it? Tell me a little bit more about what that first day might have been like. Jeff, you want to talk?
Yeah, well, I think it is definitely something where, you know, it's a visual art that we're talking about. So, you know, to talk about it through articles and through images, like 2D images, and try to get all this information about it and try and understand this work without actually being able to see it, especially in the case of Andrew, it's a very experiential show. They do not read very well in photographs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's really difficult, and I think we all sort of had that experience on the first day. It just sort of changed everything to be able to walk into the gallery and see the pieces in person.
How did it change for you when that happened?
I think it's just sort of the question of, okay, now how do I take all this information that I've gathered and that I've been fed, mm-hmm. you know, over the past 5 weeks and make it relate to actual physical items uh-huh. that I have to converse about and uh-huh. help people to possibly understand.
Uh-huh. Any other?
Well, for me, before I actually had my first gallery shift, I got to see the works by themselves because me and Chrissy went in for that hour, and then we had the whole group got to see the pieces. So
right.
I kind of had the time to get used to the pieces where I personally could walk through it and then discuss it with the other interns. So that kind of got me used to talking around the pieces. But I remember on the first day, I kind of made a circle just to see what's going on and get used to it. And then it's funny because this is my first visitor that I'm talking to, so it's kind of like, it was like, not hunting, but I'm like picking out which one I think
it was. It's like hunting a little for me. Yeah. I don't know, it might be different for
so
you.
It was just, I don't remember my first, actually yeah, I do remember my first conversation. I approached the man and he just seemed very, like he was enjoying the work, and I just remember that he had, I don't remember the exact words, but he was very poetic ways of describing it, and he was very enthusiastic about it, so I kind of just led him on to talk about how he feels about the work, so uh-huh. it was a very positive first conversation that kind of made me comfortable, and I was able to continue my shift and approach other people, and
uh-huh.
just, and I did have a few conversations. I remember at least having one conversation that was lengthy, so I was able to engage somebody, and I felt like I accomplished something at the end of the day.
Well, that's nice. Okay. Yeah.
It was also, I mean, throughout the process of this internship, I've constantly tried to remember and recreate my experience the first time I saw the show, because spending so much time with Anne Truitt's work and in the galleries, you forget what your initial reactions
yeah.
were, and that's what you're speaking to visitors who are seeing the work for the first time. And after spending hours and hours, my perceptions are completely different of her work than they were the first time. I remember being really impressed by the larger, darker pieces in the second room of the exhibition. And after a few weeks, those were a little bit too obvious and imposing after noticing the nuance but of other works. But that's something that it's so hard after spending so long with the work to recreate. So I think that in that way, both the blog helped because you could revisit your initial thoughts, and also I kept a journal for school about it, and
oh.
that sort of thing did help.
I mean, in terms of the blog that we use or the group site that we use, you guys did that pretty regularly every day. What was helpful about it? I guess you were saying it because it kept things fresh in your mind. Is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
And it served as a resource to go back to because we were coming back so many times and each day was a different experience, to at the end of the day be able to look back and see, okay, well maybe this went poorly today, but last week I did this and, uh-huh. and this I felt positively about at the end of the day, or to look back and say, oh, I can't believe I thought that about that then. It's so different now. And to really see the evolution of how we, one, approached visitors, but also how we looked at the work itself.
Do anyone else want to talk about the blog or the group site?
Yeah, I think also the idea of having those little questions there to spur our memories was important, because, you know, it's one thing to think, oh, you know, that conversation went well, but when you get to the end of the day and you can actually think back and actually write down, you know, this worked particularly well today, or this did not work particularly well today, you know, to have to think about that and write it down sort of validates it and makes you really remember it, so that you can really kind of hold on to and sort of sift through techniques that work, techniques that don't.
I kind of see this technique as a weird art form. I mean, I guess if you think about like stand-up comedy as an art form, not that we're doing stand-up comedy, but but that there's something improvisational when you are working with other people and yet it's intimate, so it's not stand-up comedy. That would be weird to do intimate stand-up comedy. That would be so bizarre. But anyway, but that aside, what was my point? My point was, it is a little bit like an art form, and I think that journaling kind of helps you see it that way. Were there things that you started noticing about doing this?
Yeah, it's interesting that you describe it as an art form, because I do believe it is, you know, involves craft and timing and perception of your environment and the people you're around. But also, it's a very bizarre dynamic in the way that it's so fleeting. You have these ephemeral conversations with people that leave you, I think once you do them for long enough, it's like you kind of just get this feeling, like a sense of all of the conversations, but once you have enough of them, it, for me anyways, it becomes a wash. And it's hard. I mean, there's a few moments that really stand out to me, but after a few weeks, it's amazing how they can sort of blend into each other, to the point where I can have these really like meaningful conversations with people, and then the person will come back next week and their face will look familiar, but I won't like I think the blog is helpful because it makes things more concrete.
Yeah.
And you can sort of at least physically manifest just into paragraphs and sentences something from these very brief encounters with people about artwork that itself is very subtle and sort of transient as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this particular show has a very temporal, very ethereal quality in some ways to it, even though we know it's, you know, wood sculptures have been painted. The ways that people interact with them are very personal. So did you ever find that you got into conversations with people that became very personal for them? Or did you find that it was mainly more formal analysis you're doing?
I found that it depended upon the individual. It seemed like there were some people who were willing to go to more emotional places, but I would only do that if they wanted to. I felt invasive trying to pull someone into that realm if they didn't want to do that.
I don't know if I'm necessarily emotional, but I have had conversations, especially on slow days, where I was able to, because there's no people, I was able to have a lengthy conversation with a person or even walk through the gallery with them and kind of see their opinion develop as they see more and more pieces. So I have discussed at length, and usually in those conversations that we don't just I haven't just discussed her work, but also maybe the idea of art or museum, and it kind of branches to various personal opinions. So I have had kind of got a feel for some people and what kind of personality, what kind of tastes they have by discussing her artwork and also the setting or just their connection to it. Because I've talked to people who right away told me, like, oh, I'm a musician and I see it in relation to music, or I'm an engineer, I see it in relation to numbers. So it gave me a sense of what kind of person they were or their perception, and I was able to alter the conversation to kind of lead it in a way that they're comfortable with.
Now, that's an interesting thing, because you guys are studying art, and now you're having conversations with visitors looking at art in a gallery, and especially in a museum, which is all about, in some ways, art history or telling a story about art. And I guess I'm wondering, when you go back to studying art or making art, how will this experience change? Would this experience change the way you do this, the way you think about it?
Well, I think, at least at a very basic level, I know we mentioned once that it's probably the first time I've ever studied an artist so in depth, but it's very rewarding in a way that I never expected to study an artist so in depth until probably much later if I continued. And just in general, knowing how deep you can go with one person's work and one body of work, it is nice to know that it feels like the studies that I am going back to are much, like there's much more there and it's a much deeper pool to delve into.
I guess I'm also wondering, in terms of, you've spent time alone in the gallery, an empty gallery with the work, and can you tell what downtime is like with an Andrewitt?
Well, I can definitely tell you we've all had that.
Does the work speak to you? Does it say, this is my secret?
And I will say that after spending more and more time with the work, it would come to like the sixth week of being in the galleries, and I would still start noticing new things.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You do still pick up on new things sometimes that you didn't notice before, and that does occasionally make you re-excited about
for a little while. That's true, and definitely, oddly enough, I feel like downtime in the gallery kind of suits for work in a funny way, because a lot of visitors come in, but I agree with them completely, and they said they're very meditative pieces, but I think they're very quiet, and they kind of take this, like, they take time, and I think quiet time, and it's something that they open up very, very slowly, and when you're alone in a gallery with the piece, it's, you know, you're there for the visitors, and you want to, you know, it's your job, but it also helps to understand the piece fully and how you relate to it before talking to them. Mm-hmm. So having that downtime, at least I know a couple times in the first week, it was actually incredibly useful, because it gave you the time to become acquainted with the work in a way that was, I think, very honest.
Yeah. I wanted to say, too, that one thing that I think I've realized about the relationship of the artist to the work of art is that I really do believe more than ever that it's completely inextricable. And I believe that whoever a person is as an art maker, that everything they do as a person in their daily lives, even to what they eat for breakfast, I think, informs how they make art, whether or not their art is being shown in the Hirshhorn or if it's just in their home. And I think after having learned so much about Andrewitt and how she presented herself in her journals and then how she presented her sculptures and her philosophies behind all of that, it seems to me impossible to extract a work of art from the artist, though I do believe if the work is powerful, it can have the ability to transcend that dynamic. But so when you're asking about what it's like being in the gallery alone with the work, I often sort of felt like I was with Anne.
People have said that. It's interesting about her work. So I feel like it's that experience communicates a lot of what she believed about her own work, which is interesting.
My research trip was Monday morning, and when I was reading the journal during my research trip, so I remember the first time I read it, and I put it down, and realized all her ideas were still running through my head, and when I went down to the gallery, it was like a continuous process of thinking about what she was saying and how she perceived things, and I started seeing what she was saying in her artwork. And I remember the first time, after reading the first few pages in the journal and being in the gallery, all the visitors, I was like so enthusiastic, because I'm like, well, I've read this and it seems to relate to this piece. And then we had very interesting conversations, because I could, out of my mind, quote something, and then after meditating on the piece by myself, kind of talk about it with somebody. So it was like a circle where it was very rewarding experience.
Yeah, what happens sometimes, I find, is that when you're talking to someone, you have someone else to bounce it off of, but also with the fresh eyes that you had when you first started looking at it. So it is interesting because they're, in some ways, they're testing. But they're an interesting person to. You start to have all this expertise, and then talking to the visitor, you can often get another point of view that might not upset it, but make you rethink your that sense of expertise.
I do think that it was sort of a continuous learning experience. Yeah. Like, no matter how much we knew about the work, there would still be days where you would encounter a visitor that would be looking at the work in a different way that you hadn't thought about it before, and that's just another piece of information, and every piece of information adds up to the whole, like the way you look at the work as a whole.
So you've been archiving experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Anne.
Just like Anne. I know, it gets weird. If you guys were to do another show, I would be so curious to see like how it would, what kind of a different experience that would be for you. But Maya, you were going to say?
Oh, I was just going to agree with Jeff in that it felt like over time it became, I mean, sometimes it felt a little less exciting, but it became more and more, I think, the exhibit as a whole and the process more informative to us, because it felt like we were drawing on this collective understanding of her work, which involved all the potential visitors and everyone that had visited, and us. Mm-hmm. And so the longer you worked with it, it was like the more we were just kind of revealing.
Huh. It's also interesting. I found that in some cases I would mention a comment from a visitor to another visitor if it related to what they were seeing or was another perspective for me, or even with some visitors, they would say something that related to my a concept I had about the piece, but they'd word it differently. Like, I always knew that you need the pieces require time to look, and this one visitor said that to him the pieces seemed four-dimensional because they incorporate the idea of time, and it was like he used that one word and it was the perfect way to describe it. So some of the comments kind of built or were another aspect and an opinion I've developed, but other comments were completely something I've missed or didn't see or was very different. So it's kind of trying take like some pieces, especially for me, it's First Requiem, that I have a number of various interpretations of it, and some of them could fit together as like kind of one, and others kind of conflict each other, but just the fact that what you're saying is like having this whole collective of experiences just shows what that is perception and reflection, and just what the multitude and how different people like reflect themselves onto the work.
I guess the thing that I want, maybe one thing to think about, what would you take away from this internship in terms of?
Well, I found that I think it's the thing that sort of drew me to the internship in the first place was finding ways to talk about art, and particularly to talk about art that's hard to talk about. And Anne's is definitely that.
I think one thing that I learned is maybe it doesn't even just have to do with art, but it just has more to do with human nature and people, and that I moved to D.C. for this internship, and so I moved here not knowing very many people, and yet I was in a position where my job was to engage strangers on a daily basis in really intimate ways, and it was extremely rewarding, and I think I developed skills through I think that I can take with me outside of the gallery space as well, in terms of, even though, I mean, the world is so big and you can only maintain so many connections with so many people, that there is an ability to have real intimate connection with people, even though it's fleeting.
Mm-hmm. I think it also shaped the way I'll experience museums from now on, too, because even since this internship started, visiting exhibitions in other museums and realizing the void that's there in terms of one-on-one experiences within galleries, and realizing that we really are a resource for people to tap into and to help them engage with the work, and that while this sort of program may not be suitable for all museums or all exhibitions, that this is a really unique program, and that it is something that I think has a future and should extend into other museums.
Anybody else?
I guess the one thing is it made me, I knew it before but never really experienced it, how different people view art or experience art or what art means to people. And just interacting with that broad range of somebody who's, you know, a curator or an artist or someone who's an engineer and just that knows nothing about it, or someone who just loves art, just a completely broad range of different minds. Mm-hmm. It kind of made me think very carefully how, like, within art or the experience of art, the experience of the museum, it's kind of like each person brings their own culture and their own experience to the art, and how that experience, like, how difficult it is to make sure that everyone can get something out of the experience. And just what Mia was saying, that this, I've had visitors give very positive feedback about being able to talk to somebody if they were feeling lost or confused, because it gives them another way to connect, because to some people it's easy, talking to somebody is a way to tie back to the art.
Well, great. Thank you so much. I mean, the program is made by the people who do it.